World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm trying to figure out what set of glasses do you know? I buy dollar store glasses. I think I told all of you that, right? I don't have prescriptions. And sometimes I don't know which one to use here today. I just kind of grab whatever. So morning. Good morning, man. Oh, man. Hey, Ray, how you doing? I see some faces out there. David Arthur lost all of his hair. That's all good. A lot going on. Welcome. 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 I just want to say this off the top of my head. No, I'm not. I'm not going to give any credence to it. Let's move on. Hey, here's what I think. Oh, Coach, I'm going to get into this. Okay. I believe the greatest, how do I say this? Say it the right way, Coach. The greatest affront, AFFRONT. Pull that up, Spencer. Affront. Affront. What is an affront? Literally, to meet or encounter face-to-face in good or bad. To affront. The greatest affront on liberty in America occurred with the Supreme Court decision that came out 2 days ago about birthright citizenship. And I don't, for the life of me, I'm going to tell you something. Who controls those folks on the Supreme Court? I mean, really, really, behind the scenes, who controls those people? Is it threats? Because there isn't anybody who's watching this show today who thinks that somebody can come here from Somalia, pregnant, come here pregnant from Somalia, and pop out a baby, be here 2 weeks and go home, and that child would be an American citizen. No, nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. And we'll say that again. Nobody believes that. Birthright citizenship was only about slaves, freeing the slaves. That's all it was about, folks. That's all it was about. And see, one of the things that the affront, one of the things that we're dealing with, I'm going to get into this. Bear with me a second, okay? One of the things that we're dealing with is because the church has withdrawn from the battle, the left, whatever you want to call them, Luciferians, whatever, who are many, 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 many intent on destroying America. Folks, it is their focus and their goal to destroy America. Please tell me that you understand that. That you understand that America has always, Christian America, has always been the beacon of liberty throughout the world. If America falls, the world falls. Tell me you understand that. Tell me that you understand that. That's why the assault is so great on Christian America. And the stuff that we've been talking about for the last week, talking about the separation between church and state, yada, yada, Supreme Court decisions, yada, yada. I want to get into more of that, but it's so deep. I just want you to just bear with me here a little bit today, okay? I know you always do, and I appreciate you coming in here. And I want to say this to those of you who I don't have time to get into email dialogues with people who don't like me or don't like what I say here. I try to be courteous, and I try to respond to them, but I ain't going to get in the back and forth with you, dude, huh? I just ain't going to do it. Right? This is a show. It's my opinion. And I can tell you this. You ain't got no idea what the hell you're talking about. All right? I do this for a living. I do this for a living. You're not disagree. That's not what I'm talking about. But so here's what I'm saying. You send me an email, I'll respond once, maybe twice. Other than that, I ain't got, sorry, dude. You ain't that important. I don't have time for it. Anyway, let me, oh my goodness. So much here. So Coach, calm down real quickly. Thanks to all of you who emailed on behalf of Brian Cunningham. Thank you, Dan. Spencer, if you could, please put that back in the chat. There's the email, and the phone call, phone number that you can call Blake Hawthorne. And we told you the other day, just real quick, short to the point regarding Brian's case. So I know a lot of you did it. And we appreciate everything Brian's been through. He's a loyal dog here, man. He's behind the scenes, always has been. Brian, I seen you in here, brother. Anything to add about that yesterday, Brian?
No, I just really appreciate it. I really appreciate people doing that. And I'm actually going to post a couple of links in the chat. We Blessed to Teach did their video, went out last night, and another Nate Cain. We did an interview with Nate Cain. He was the FBI whistleblower. So once I get that link, I'll give it to everybody as well.
Hey, Brian, the Luciferian communists have stolen our nation. They're doing it, folks. They are doing it right now. Right now. Come on now. You guys are all grown-ups out there. Tolerance, right? Diversity. What the hell do you think diversity is? Diversity means get rid of Christianity, get rid of Christian values. I'm okay, you're okay. An assault. That's what I've been trying to show us in here for the last 2 weeks. The assault on Christianity in the Constitution of the United States has gotten us where we are. And it's birthright citizenship. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Yes, I am. Okay, so Brian, just keep us apprised of what is it you have us to do. Folks, I would just ask you, if you have an email list or you have a group of five people, friends that you're on, ask them to do the same thing. Ask them, please, to send an email. Just send an email just saying, hey, please, let Patricia Louise Locke go. That's really, I mean, look, they know what the case is. They're getting enough email. They know. Don't try to convince them. Just tell them, let her go, okay? So keep after him, Brian, and we're in your corner. We'll do more if we have to, okay? Let me see here. Paul, go ahead, Paul. Got your hand up.
Hey, Coach, is it true that this is all related to an aquifer that this young woman in her prison has? Like, this is related to one of those AI centers?
I don't know. You know,
it certainly makes sense.
It does make sense. Friends, listen, you know, we've talked about that here several times at Coach Dave Live. These aquifers, these data centers, this is so friggin' huge. So listen, it's all what? Distract. Because why? First of all, the church doesn't pay attention, and the church don't give a shit, huh? Because we're going to get raptured out of here soon, and we'll just leave this mess to our children and our grandchildren like good Christian people, huh? Yeah, we'll let the devil take over. We won't do anything to protect those who they're not Christians. We're not going to protect them. No, that's our job. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, light of the world, to the lost and dying culture, not just those on our team, not just those in our group. Well, I'm okay, you're okay. I'll wave to you on the way up, Coach Dave. Where did that come from? Where the hell? Oh, there it is. Huh? It's a doctrine of hell. It's a doctrine of hell. Jesus told us to be the salt of the earth, light of the world, and we are neither. We are neither. That the government told us that we're not allowed to be involved as Christians in government. We said, okay, thank you. Rapture's coming. We'll be out of here. It's unbelievable. Doctrines of demons. That's right, David. Our dark doctrines of demons. They're allowed to teach homosex in the school, but not mention Jesus. Doesn't that bother anybody out there? Doesn't that bother your pastors? They teach your children with your tax dollars homosex, transgenderism, and the church goes and cheers at the football games. I got to move on here, okay? Got to move on. We're having our event. Register. Please register. Numbers are going up. We're looking good and solid. Bad news. The deal that Mel had for us at the hotel, so many of you have taken advantage of it, I guess, that it's no longer available. So if you need a hotel in the area, send me an email. We'll try to find you one. Try to find you a different place. That 99, whatever that rate was, is gone. No longer available. Our registrations are good. We'd love for you to come. Going to be, man, just come, man, come if you can. So there it is. Register, please. Hey, folks, don't wait till the last minute. don't wait till the last minute, because we got to prepare food. We got a lot starting right now. It's first day of July. We got a lot we got to do, man, to get ready for this. And we need to know how many people are coming. And we don't really know. I mean, our numbers are good, but we really don't know. So please, please register today, will you? Register today. Say, listen, coach, I don't know if I can make it, or register anyway. Give us $20. We'll feed everybody. And if you can't make it, we'll put your $20 toward feeding somebody else. But register, please. It's the first. The event's the 10th. We got a lot of work to do. Okay. Now pull up the thing on Fritz real quickly, just so you remember who he is. Folks, you want your head to spin, just spend some time on Fritz Zimmerman's Facebook page. Talking about all this stuff, man. Oh, huh? Now, look, some of this stuff is AI generated. Those mounds in America were not built by the Indians, friends. They were not built by the Indians. Hopewell Indians, they tell us. And the mounds in America, in the Midwest, here in Ohio, boom, be part of it. Okay, moving on. Let's see here. Okay. Where do I want to go? Because we've been talking about... I've been trying to talk over the last couple, 3 or 4 days. I've tried to stay focused on the Constitution. Sort of the Constitution, what the Constitution really says, what our biblical rights really are, secular humanism, Christianity, denomination, and all that kind of stuff. But I got something that's really, really, really important for us today, okay? Birthright citizenship. Pull up number one. Say what you want to Stephen Miller. He's just kind of got away with words. And I want you to think about here. Look, friends, let me take you through this very, very quickly. I'm going to tell you this. Somebody is controlling the Supreme Court. Somebody's controlling the Supreme Court. I don't know who it is. John Roberts, my opinion, he's bought and paid for. I don't know who it is. Clarence Thomas seems to be the only straight shooter on there. Yeah. Remember how they fought Clarence Thomas? Because they were trying to put a black man on there, and he wasn't the right kind of black man. They didn't want a conservative black man. They wanted a liberal black man. Remember how hard they fought him? But they got one. They got Ketanji Brown, who I don't even know if she's even been married ever. Anyway, and see, that's what happened. We get race-based. Folks, this is serious stuff. Do you think the Supreme Court doesn't understand? First of all, if they don't understand, they shouldn't be on the Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court is aware of how elections are stolen? Do you think they understand fake ballots? Do you think they understand the fact that people go around neighborhoods and send them ballots for people who are angry? Do you think the Supreme Court understands that? They have to, don't they? They have to. And so when it comes to them, we said, listen, President of the United States, they sent a shot across the bow, actually, at the President of the United States saying, all right, stop it already. Huh? You better stop it already with that. With that voting registration and mail, you better stop that, buddy, they said to him. And they said, look, mail-in ballots, baby, those mail-in, they're good and they count, huh? Folks, it's election day. It's election day. We live in the most instantaneous information age. I got to show. Hey, pull up, Spencer, I got to show you this. This is where we are, okay? Hey, Spencer, pull up. It says Nixon calls on the moon. Just pull that up there. Look at this, folks. This was an actual picture. Hello, operator. Can you connect me to the moon, please? Now, I don't know if it, huh? Richard Nixon picked up a phone and called the moon. He called the moon. Go back where we were. I'm going somewhere. Bear with me. Oh, I got a lot to tell you. Hang on real quickly. Tina Peters. I got to get this in before I forget. Tina Peters is freed. I thank you for Joe Carrico always keeping us really aware of that. Spencer, can you click on Tina Peters there real quick? There she is. She's in the White House. Tina Peters is freed. And facts are going to bear out here. I don't know if facts really matter anymore. The election was stolen. She knows it. She knows it. Peter Tichtenner, her lawyer, heard him speak when we were in D.C. He's a straight shooter. Tina Peters is free. So we thank God for that. And Joe Carrico was all over that. We've been praying for that. Tina Peters is free. And folks, she has the goods. Okay, so go back where I was. I'm sorry. What was I talking about? Yeah, okay. Stephen Miller, friends, birthright citizenship means this. It was the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was written for one purpose and one purpose only. That the blacks were citizens because they were born here. That's all the 14th Amendment was about. That's all it was about. Giving citizenship to black Americans. Slaves. Because remember, they weren't people, yada, yada. We remember the Dred Scott decision. Remember all that stuff, how it all went together. So they said, listen, we're going to pass the 14th Amendment because some states still were not giving liberty and freedom, especially the right to vote, to blacks. Blacks. I'm not going to call them African Americans. They ain't from freaking Africa. They wouldn't. Anyway, it's programming. It's all programming. So Stephen Miller, the Supreme Court of the United States, who knows that we are under attack by illegal immigration, endorsed illegal immigration. That's what they did here, folks. That's what they did here. Stephen Miller, he kind of nails it pretty good. Hey. If the elections are crooked, if non-citizens are voting in elections, we don't have a republic. That's why they keep telling you it's a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a democratic republic. We're a democratic republic, meaning what? The people vote for representatives, and the representatives are bought and paid for. Tell me you get it. The Israel PAC, AIPAC, they're buying senators and congressmen. Now, look, I don't care if you support. I don't care if you support AIPAC. I don't care. They are buying votes, folks. They're buying votes. And so somebody tell me who's controlling the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court, understanding that back when they ratified the 14th Amendment, they had no idea. The people who ratified the 14th Amendment had no idea of technology, what it would be like in 2026. Mail-in ballots, electronic voting, scan. They had no idea when they said they naturalized. They thought people were going to go to, they were going to go show up, show their ID and vote. And we can't even today in America pass a law to show an ID to vote. Why? Because the devil knows what we don't get. Oh, yeah. He who controls a ballot box controls the world, folks. And these guys on the Supreme Court are bought and paid. What's up with John Roberts? What happened to John Roberts? Anyway, here we go. Stephen Miller lays it out pretty good, folks. Go ahead, play Stephen here.
Wound in the heart of the American Republic. Look, Jesse, I can step tomorrow onto the deck of a 747. It does not mean that I am the pilot of
freeze the plane qualified. Freeze it. Start it again, Spencer. My sound's not very good. Are you guys okay out there with the sound? I can't hardly hear it. Maybe it's on my end. Can you guys, somebody tell me out there, can you hear it okay? Anybody?
Boom. It's good.
Okay, good. That's not good on my end. Go ahead. Start it again.
In the heart of
now,
the
listen,
American...
listen, folks. Folks. Analogies are important. A principle is a principle. Right is right, no matter what the situation is. Do you understand that? They've taught us for years, situational ethics, values, clarifications. And all situational ethics and value clarification was an assault on teaching you that the truth isn't always the truth. Undermining the truth. Values clarification and situational ethics. And we're talking about situational ethics here. So what Stephen Miller does is he does what's called an analogy, a comparison, right? For instance, could somebody come and knock on my door, a tramp or whatever, some homeless person, come, knock on my door, say, Coach, I know you run a ministry and I need a shower and I need some food. Could you help me? And out of the goodness of my heart, I say, sure, come on in. Come on in. Bring them in. Michelle feeds them and gives them a shower, and they're all good. And then they say, where's my bedroom? Michelle, what? Yeah, where's my bedroom? I want to move in. I want to be in your family. What? That's what this is. That's what this is. Go ahead, Stephen.
Wound in the heart of the American Republic. Look, Jesse, I can step tomorrow onto the deck of a 747. It does not mean that I am the pilot of that plane and I'm qualified to fly it. Just physically being on U.S. soil does not make you a citizen or qualified to carry on or capable of executing the inheritance of this country. We have people from all over the world, from third world nations, nations that on their own would have never invented the wheel, let alone modern technology, let alone medicine, let alone air travel. And they can just come into the country, have a baby at a hospital, paid for by you and me, and then that baby's automatically a citizen. That baby can sit on a jury when he turns 18 and sit in judgment of you and sit in judgment of me and sit in judgment of our loved ones, can decide who our mayors are, our governors are, our presidents are. Citizenship means nothing if it is open to everyone. The idea that you can have a cruise ship filled with foreigners and they just dock at a port for an hour and someone has a baby, Jesse, the baby's an American citizen. They can vote in every election for the rest of their lives. They can be living in a foreign country and cashing welfare checks from American citizens. Look, I know that some of the justices who worked on this, they think that they're so intelligent. There is no possible reading of the 14th Amendment that applies to foreigners with foreign loyalties, foreign citizenship, foreign obligations, foreign everything. And here's another point. Here's a pretty good clue.
That's good, isn't it? Huh? By the way, the Supreme Court was never this. It was net, folks. An unaccountable Supreme Court, and a Supreme Court unaccountable to the people that cannot be voted out. Folks, that's not democracy. That's not a republic. And the Supreme Court was never supposed to have the power that we currently grant to the Supreme Court. Okay, hang on. Show you what happened. Point number four. Folks, this all connects to human. It all connects to the fact they have to do away with Christianity. They have to do away with it. Got to do away with it. Now, 1958, Robert Welch, who I believe became the founder of the John Birch Society, I believe. All right. 1958, Robert Welch explains to us their plan to destroy America. 1958. Go ahead.
There are three possible methods by which the communists might take us over. One would be by a peaceful coup d'etat, as in Czechoslovakia in 1948. The second method would be by fomenting civil war.
Freeze it. We've had a successful coup d'etat with Barack Hussein Obama, who wasn't even an American citizen. He had to be born in America. He wasn't born in America. It's exactly what Stephen Miller was talking about. He was an anchor baby at best. Go ahead.
Second method would be by fomenting civil war in this country and aiding the communist side with military might. But there is a third method, which they are clearly relying on most heavily. And this is taking us over by a process so gradual and insidious that communist rule is slipped over so far on the American people before they ever realize it is happening. The process in that direction is going on right now, gradually but surely, and with ever-increasing spread and speed. A part of that plan, of course, is to induce the gradual surrender of American sovereignty, piece by piece and step by step, to various international organizations, of which the United Nations is the outstanding but far from the only example.
Hang on, freeze. Another part
is the conversion of the United States into a socialist nation, quite similar to Russia itself in its economy and political outlook, before police state enforcement is ever introduced. The best way to explain the aim here is simply to quote the directive under which some of the very largest American foundations have been secretly but visibly working for years. This directive is so to change the economic and political structure of the United States that it can be comfortably merged with Soviet Russia. Wow. Now, here are the communist aims for the United States. One, greatly expanded government spending for every conceivable means of getting rid of ever larger sums of American money as wastefully as possible. Two, higher and then much higher taxes. Three, an increasingly unbalanced budget despite the higher taxes. Four, wild inflation of our currency. Five, government controls of prices, wages, and materials, supposedly to combat inflation. Six, greatly increased socialistic controls over every operation of our economy and every activity of our daily lives. This is to be accompanied, naturally and automatically, by a correspondingly huge increase in the size of our bureaucracy and in both the cost and reach of our domestic government. Seven, far more centralization of power in Washington and the practical elimination of our state lines. There is a many-faceted drive at work to have our state lines eventually mean no more within the nation than our county lines do now within the states. Eight, the steady advance of federal aid to and control over our educational system, leading to complete federalization of our public education. Nine, a constant hammering into the American consciousness of the horror of modern warfare, the beauties and the absolute necessity of peace. Peace always on communist terms, of course. And 10, the consequent willingness of the American people to allow the steps of appeasement by our government, which amount to a piecemeal surrender of the rest of the free world and of the United States itself. In summary, gentlemen, we are losing, rapidly losing, a Cold War in which our freedom, our country, and our very existence are at stake. And while we don't seem to know we are losing this war, you can be sure the communists do. There is just one thing, only one thing in the whole world which the communists fear today. It is that despite their tremendous influence in our government and over all of our means of mass communication, the American people will wake up too soon to what has really been happening and what is now happening right under their very noses. The only thing which can possibly stop the communists is for the American people to learn the truth in time. There are three.
Okay, so, hey, so we can't pass the Save America Act, right? Even though about 80% of Americans want it, both sides, Republicans and Democrats. Why? What's going on? Why can't they secure our voting? Why can't they secure our voting? Let me ask you again real slowly. Why can't they secure our voting? Because those in power can only stay in power if they don't secure the voting. And so we're seeing right now that we cannot get John Thune, who is, what is he, a Senate leader. We can't even get John Thune to secure our elections. He will not vote the Save America Act to secure our elections. Folks, You got to show an ID to buy a beer. Huh? Yeah. You got to show an ID to buy a beer. You got to go. You got to show an ID to go take money out of the bank. You got to show an ID to do everything, but not to vote. Not to vote. Okay, hang on. I'm going to connect another dot for you, okay? Are you sitting down? Poll number three. Morality. It's the morality, stupid. It's the morality, stupid. Single parent crime statistics. Report 2026. Single parenthood is tied to a major jump in incarceration with father absent. JR, are you listening? With at least a two-time increase in imprisonment odds and fatherless backgrounds linked to around 70% of inmates. 70% of inmates incarcerated didn't have a dad. At the same time, disruptions in the home can reshape justice outcomes, with single mother homes producing 33% more inmates. Single mother homes are producing 33% more inmates than those that have a husband, father in there. The pattern is hard to ignore. From 72% of adolescent inmates come 72% of teenage inmates come from single parent homes. So it's worth asking what these pathways have in common. So some key takeaways. I'm going to open it up here. Single parenthood increases incarceration odds by two times. 70% of inmates are from fatherless homes. Children of single parents are 50% more likely imprisoned. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. Fatherless children are four times risk sexual violence. 80% of property crimes by juveniles are from fatherless homes. Single-parent boys are two times higher on the burglar conviction rate. 70% of adult inmates, single-parent childhood. Fatherless ex-inmates are two times the reincarceration rate. Single-parent children, 77% more likely to be disobedient at school. Boys from single-mother homes are 20 times more likely to commit violent crimes. And fatherless homes produce 70% of long-term prison inmates. It's the morality, stupid. It's the morality, stupid. Hey, church, it's the morality, stupid. Most kids will go through school and never, ever hear the mention of Jesus Christ. Never hear it. Never hear it in schools. All they'll learn transgenderism, homosex, and butt sex, and this sex, and that sex, but never hear the name of Jesus. I think this is by accident. Oh, wait a minute. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And they call it the cultural war, but the church is waiting for evacuation. All right. Come on in, Lauren. Say, coach, wow. Somebody, hang on, hang on. Somebody say, wow. I'm going to wait.
It's beyond wild, coach.
Somebody else say wow.
Wow, coach.
Wow. Hey, vote those Republicans in there. Let's vote those Republicans in there. That's why we just need some more Republicans in there. And then they'll appoint some conservative judges. We just need some more Republicans in there. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, another statistic that goes with males in prison is that every single one of them have at least one abortion under their belt, if not multiple, like paying for their an abortion with whoever they are with.
Parenthood's meaningless to them. Parenthood's meaningless to them. It's all about them. I'm okay. You're okay. Get your best life now. So my best life now doesn't include a baby. I'm going to kill it because killing it's okay. My pastor never says it's okay, right?
Well, then they have, because there's no responsibility that or pride in being a dad because they haven't had a dad.
Right.
So they don't understand that. And there's no positive male role models. And now since they've labeled being a man is toxic masculinity because you're a right. man. That's right. what that means. Right.
That's right. That's right.
And women aren't rising up and saying, I want. If you're going to define it as a toxic masculinity, that's the person I want. Because there is no man to protect their son or their daughter anymore.
Well, not only that, Lauren, not only that, we don't even know what masculinity is. We have masculine men in homes that ain't got any idea how to be a father.
Well, and look at Pastor Tony Spell. That's a pastor. That's a shepherd. That's a man because he laid because it was about his family first,
yeah,
and then his church family, right? And he just like he said, it's not the job of the sheep to protect the pastor. It's the job of the pastor to protect the sheep.
Yeah, but Lauren, he should have controlled his temper. He didn't look much like a Christian man. He should have controlled. We're freaking sick, aren't we, folks?
Aren't we sick? David killed a bear.
Hang on a minute. Don't you see the double standard? Don't you see that they make us live up to our values? And they ain't got none. They got no values, and all they want to do is destroy yours. Go ahead, Lauren.
Boom.
When David was in, was, you know, tending to his flock, right? He protected him from bears and lions and wolves in sheep's clothing, which was his brothers. His literal biological family was wolves in sheep clothing, which is a representation of the church.
What did Gideon's army do? Well, they snuck, didn't they? Huh? They pounded on pots and pans and lured them in, killed them, huh? What? That damn David, he slew Goliath? Are you kidding me? Goliath didn't even get a trial. He didn't have a trial. Christianity believes in killing people without trial. Folks, you think I'm being... Christians think.
Well, and I'm going to go down this rabbit hole because... You know, I'm good about not making friends, you know, like this whole argument with Carmelo Anthony, you know, this whole that whole nightmare. Right. Because he's the one who brought the knife to the fight. But here, David cut off Goliath's head after he killed him because, you know, Saul sent him out. Right. So I guess maybe now David should have gone to jail and should have been put in prison like John was, you know, and had his, you know, because he cut his head off.
Lauren, look, who are you to judge, Lauren? And that daggone David, he didn't even give Goliath a chance to defend himself, Lauren. Huh? See, David, Tony Spell was David. And the church can't even recognize it, see. He's a man of the cloth. He should have let them rape his wife. They should have let him do that. Huh? They should have let him stand out there and grab a hold of his junk out in front and dance. They should have let him do that. We're sick, folks. We're freaking sick. Huh? Somebody, come on in. Come on in. Hey, Spence, pull up. I got this from our buddy. Christian Trevette, pull that up there. Generations die off. Huh? How about this one, folks? How about this one? Huh? Did you know? Have you thought about this? The builder generation of Americans, those born before 1946, it would include me, I was 52, fought and won wars, raised families, built businesses, institutions, and churches. And they were and are loyal in good times and in bad. The greatest generation, they called that. Did you know that approximately 880,000 to 100,000 individuals from the builder generation also known as the silent generation, born before 1906. 100,000 pass away every year. This averages out to about 1,500 deaths per week for those builder generation, your grandfathers. Did you know in many churches, the majority of loyal, faithful members are my age, your age? They're in their 70s and 80s. They increasingly die out and churches close the doors. All over America, thousands of congregations are barely holding on by the weakening efforts of the shrinking builder generation. Those of us who say, God wins in the end, I'm going to be raptured out of here. There are, of course, other factors, but you can't deny that this is part of reality. Come on in, James.
Hey, Marty, brother, I just looked at the obituaries, and I'm not in it. I didn't see David there, but I'm in Altoona. There's a lot of people in the 60s and 50s, and freaking there's people 30s. I mean, you just don't know.
Hey, James, what do you think COVID was about, James? What do you think it was about?
Absolutely.
A lot of these
folks had probably got the jab. Especially the young people.
Because we were trained to obey the government, honor and obey the government. We were, right? Our generation.
Yeah. You kind of did let off with that communism thing. I see something that's taking place. The Mandemis or who these New York socialist communists are starting. I mean, these guys are so far left that they're starting to get elected throughout the country. And the old dog Democrats who are kind of, even they're still wicked. They're all wicked. But I mean, I think what's going to take place is Jefferson said the blood of liberty must be watered by liberty. I think it's coming. I think we're going to, there's no way righteous people can live side by side with wicked, evil people. It's not possible.
So let me give you an illustration here, James. And if you get offended, okay? You guys know that here at Coach Dave Live, we're a Christian business. We're not a ministry. I told you that we're a Christian business. And we live and operate off the donations of people. People donate to us, and they get a tax write-off for donating to us. And thank God you're the lifeblood of the ministry. God bless you. You keep us going. But I want you to know this. You'll be surprised how many times people say, hey, Coach Dave, if you don't stop talking about this, we're going to reevaluate our giving. Oh, yeah. Huh? Ask yourself right now, where are some of the folk that used to be here? So, if I'm a congressman and you're giving me, I don't know, you give me $500,000 for my reelection, and then I get a phone call from you that says, Coach, you know we're not for that, right, Coach? Coach, we're supporting you, but if you continue to back that legislation, folks, you think that's not going on in the churches? You think that's not going on in other places? And the guy standing in the pulpit, me, depending on you to fund the ministry, you think I'm going to talk about those hard issues? Fact. It's just a fact. Because I'm not here to reinforce what you believe. I'm here to tell the truth.
There's only generally in giving, there's only 10% of people that give actually give. I mean, it's only 10%. The rest of them just, they get off on it. You know, it's kind of like a freebie. That's in the church too.
That's right. Because communism, socialism has invaded the church. They're freeloaders. There's freeloaders in church. There's freeloaders. Why? Because the government pays for everything. Can I say it without anybody getting mad? there are a lot of freeloaders at Coach Dave Live. Why? Because that's what we've been programmed to do. Somebody else will pay for it. All right, Coach. All right, Coach. But I want to know where you spend every dollar. Really? You do that to the government? You want to know where the government spends every dollar? Are you giving to the work of Coach Dave? Huh? What? I'm not trying to make this about giving. I'm just trying to open your eyes to see exactly what's going on. Because if I'm dependent on you giving, I'm not going to tell you the truth. I'm going to stay away from certain topics. But some of you will stop giving me. Giving. It's real, folks. It's real. It's real. And we're not going under, and I'm not here begging you to give me more money. Don't take it that way, okay? Hey, folks, I've rambled here for a while. I'd like to hear what you guys, I'd like to hear from some of you out there. We got 14 minutes left. Do we have to agree on everything? Hang on a minute. Let me ask you this. Let's say you have no faith. You've never been a Christian, ever. Nope, you're not a Christian. And let's say you were raised cradle to grave in Christianity. Let's say you're a pastor. Let's say you're an elder. Let's say you haven't missed a church service in 40 years. And you tithe and you pray every morning, everything, right? Do you have any obligation to what the government does with the money you give them? You want to hold your pastor accountable for what he does with the money. You don't hold your government accountable? What if all the churches stood up and said, hey, no more birthrights. No more. Sorry. Hey, no more homosex being taught. No. What if all the churches stood up and did that? But they're not going to do that. Why? Because the donors are going to stop giving. That couple that has a homosexual son, they're going to find another church where they get their back scratched. Mm. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Come on in, Jack.
Okay. I'll hold the rest till after the show, but I don't give a rat's patootie what you do with what little bit of money I can afford to send you. You do whatever you want with it, unless you start sending money to the Flat Earth Society, then we're done. And for James, that quote that you were looking for, buddy, is the Tree of Liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Why?
Think of the meaning of
that. Blood of patriots. What? God-fearing people. Everything going on is going on with the approval of the church. I vote Republican as if that's an honor. Huh? And then, hey. And then I get emails from people, how can you support Donald Trump? And I just kind of do this. How can you put your kid in public schools? How can you allow your neighbor to be taught transgenderism? Huh? And you're worried about who I'm voting for president of the United States? Really? By the way, president of the United States ain't picked by the people. That's a whole nother story. See, Donald Trump snuck in on him. Then they cheated, and then they'll do everything they can to cheat again. And they know it's going on. And that's why they can't pass the Save America Act, because the Republicans are bought and paid for as well. Oh, come on. Tell me you get it. Come on, somebody come on in. I don't want to say another. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Come on in, Dave, or Sherry, or both of you. God bless you guys. Michelle and I want to come up there, Dave. We just need to get away.
We'll get you up here sometime.
Yeah, we just need to get away.
Don't worry. Yeah, that's good. Hey, Coach, back to the Tony Spell thing. You know, there's no doubt Tony would have preferred to use another method, right? There's no doubt in our mind. And we understand that. But yet, when time comes, when you got to stand up and take care of business, he did what he did. So
Dave, the system failed him.
Absolutely. And it really, he shouldn't have, at some point in time, he shouldn't have been out there by himself. If he would have went out there with 20 guys, you would have seen that guy turn tail and run back in the house, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think he went out there to fight. Do you think he went out there to
fight? No, but whether he went out to fight or just confront him, if he went with 20 guys just to confront him and say, stop that, right? He would have, nobody would have ever thrown a punch, right?
That's right. That's right.
So it's no different. It's the same philosophy as, listen, church, this is the same philosophy as John Brockoff. John, if people would have stood up, he'd have never had to burn the abortion clinic down, right?
That's the murder
bill down, right? If the church would have stand up and went across the street with Tony Spell, he'd have never thrown a punch. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah. Oh, this is so simple. This is so somewhere along the line, I don't know where it happened. I don't know why it happened. Godly men won't fight. Godly men somehow think fighting is unrighteous. I don't know. I don't know where we. I don't know. I don't know where we got. I don't know where we got it.
So
we honor David. We honor David. He went and killed Goliath. We honor Gideon's army. They went out and slew the enemy. What point did Christianity embrace total and complete pacifism? Come on back in, Dave.
Yeah, you know, the scripture, live by the sword, die by the sword. Jesus wasn't condemning that. I interpreted that scripture. He said, listen, folks, what he was really telling them, live like a warrior, you're going to die like a warrior. Right. Live like a coward, you're going to die like a coward.
Hey, Dave. You're old enough to remember when all of our heroes on our TV shows were bold men. Rawhide, Bonanza, Have Gun, Will Travel, right? Paladin. What do we have today? What do we have today? Joel Osteen. Would anybody call on Joel Osteen in a street fight? Rick Warren. Calling him in the street fight. Who's got the bigger crowd? Coach Dave or Joel Osteen? And the Joel Osteen crowd calls me a radical. Stay away from him. Right, George? Stay away from him. Stay away from him. He'll get you in trouble. Oh, I love what I do. I love what I do. Betty, come on in, Betty. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Waters. Say it again, buddy. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Coach. Yeah, God's raising up a standard, not runners.
He is, brother. He is. Whether we see it or not, he's raising it up. Go ahead, Betty.
I just want to thank you because you've opened my eyes and ears more. Even though I was born again, I was at lukewarm churches. So I have learned more from you and this family in 4 and 5 years
that
I've had in 68.
Amen. Betty, remember this. The Bible tells us very specifically, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What's the theme? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? How do you know the guy leading your Bible study knows what the hell he's talking about? James, come on back in.
Yeah, as far as on the, I mean, there's a power in partnership in regards to giving. You know what I'm saying? This is how these big ministries, this is how they get wealthy. It's, you know, you have 1 million people give you $5, you got $5 million freaking dollars. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how many people you have that comes to your huddle, but everybody would partner with the huddle. It's not Coach Dave's huddle. It's our huddle. It's what we do for the Lord. When I sow into Coach Dave, I'm not sowing to Coach Dave. I'm giving to the Lord to give to Coach Dave. And what he does it, that's his responsibility between him and the Lord. So
that's right.
There's power in partnership.
Christians, you know, hey James, Christians are the only ones that think stuff ought to be free. Don't get me going on that. Okay, hang on. I want to finish
love
with
you,
this.
Brother. Okay. I'll see you. I'll see you. On the 10th, me and the wife are coming.
Awesome, man. Awesome. 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 Be good to look you eyeball.
I have to work out the hotel and stuff. Love you, brother.
Okay. Let us know. We'll help whatever. Real quick, I want to end with this. The right just whistles. The right just whistles. Now, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to read a little bit of it, and then I'll put it in the chat. In fact, Spencer, as I'm reading it, put it in the chat. Okay? So they'll have it. The left goes to work while the right just whistles. This is written by Eric Beach. I don't know who he is. The right talks about process. The left takes ground. I could stop right there. The right talks about how to do it while the left takes the ground. You see it with monuments. When the left wants a statue gone, it doesn't wait for the seminar on local procedures or a Supreme Court decision. They just go tear it down and rename the street. Dare anybody to do anything about it. When has the right taken down one of the left's monuments and made it stick? Hadn't happened. Their symbols get protected. Ours get debated after they are already in storage. They make decisions. We await decisions. You saw it again today, birthright citizenship. The administration tried to end the lazy way, an executive order on day one. No legislation behind it. No path to make it stick. Every court that touched it struck it down. Today, the Supreme Court finished what the lower courts had already started. A signature promise got rooted through one branch that does not, they do not control, and then died when everyone knew it would. Why was this ever the plan? Republicans have the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Vice President. You don't need to turn every campaign promise to the Supreme Court prayer. You need to govern. The left understands this. It has 50 votes and the Vice President. It looks for the root. Reconciliation, rule changes, agency action, friendly states, friendly judges. The right acts like the 60-vote threshold came down from Sinai. It did not. It's a Senate rule. The current version dates to 1975. It's not scripture. It's an excuse. In 2020, the left did not ask permission to rewrite how votes were collected. It expanded mail-in balloting and ballot harvesting through emergency orders and friendly consent decrees. By the time the lawsuit showed up, the ballots had already been counted. And once they're counted, the lawsuit is a press release. That's the reason the right refuses to learn. That's a lesson, I'm sorry. And when you already have banked, does not need anyone's approval. Look at what the left built and kept. Hate crime statistics, statutes, I'm sorry, affirmative action, DEI offices with payrolls, mandates, consultants, HR departments trained to defend the machine. When one of those laws cuts their way, they use it. And when a decision opens the door, they walk through it. And when legislation creates a benefit, they make sure their side gets the benefit. The right does just the opposite. Hate crimes laws exist. So the right says, repeal it, which has almost no chance of happening. Then when a case cuts our way, prosecutors get timid. They change their safer count, call it a transit crime, and run from the hate crime label because they fear being called a racist. That is how you lose twice. You do not repeal the law, and you do not get the benefit of the law. They look for opportunities inside the system, and we look for reasons to complain about the system. That's right. The right's whole theory of victory has been subtraction. Win a case to fund a program. Strike a rule, send the fundraising email. Fine. But are you really going to claw all of it back? No. You will take one piece, hold a press conference, and then leave the rest standing. Subtraction is not governing, folks. It's a fundraising email. So start collecting benefits for our people. Start with student debt. Yada, yada, yada. Put in the chat, huh? We think it's unchristian to fight and win. And we'll say it again. We think it's unchristian to fight and win against the forces of darkness. God, we've been lied to. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. See you tomorrow.